people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Independent Ireland has called for a reintroduction of 100% mortgages. Yeah, that's the political party that I ran with election for last year. I'm not with them anymore, can I just point out? Just to be clear about that, okay? I'm not with any political party because I completely disagree with them on this. Anyway, to help out young renters and first-time buyers, 100% mortgage. Do you remember we did that back in 2003? 100% mortgages allows you to borrow the full purchase price of the property, meaning you don't need any deposit. Ireland has not had 100% mortgages since the central bank lending rules changed in 2015. Now, the party leader, Michael Collins, said that the 100% mortgages can be a valuable tool in addressing the housing crisis. How, Michael? How? However, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Ona Brin, I rarely agree with Sinn Féin, warned there should be no return to the high-risk Celtic Tiger lending of the past. I couldn't disagree with him on that. The TD also added that these mortgages wouldn't boost housing supply, but instead would add to the housing price inflation. During the Celtic Tiger, many financial institutions encouraged people to get those mortgages. The same people then found themselves in great financial trouble, unable to repay the mortgage payments. Despite this, there are still some positives, I suppose, to 100% mortgages. Quicker access to housing, I suppose. No deposit necessary, because the deposits are so big nowadays. And it preserves your cash flow. But the cons do outweigh the pros, I think, with issues such as high interest rates, negative equity, and higher monthly payments. So I don't know what you think. Yeah, look, it gives young people an opportunity to get on the property ladder much quicker. They don't have to wait 3 years to save 30 grand or 40 grand, or it'll be more actually, because it's 20% of the average house, which is 400,000. So they're going to have to save between 70 and 100,000 euro, depending on the price of the house. So yeah, it gets them on the property ladder really quickly, much quicker. It's good for young people. But is it good for society? Is it good for the economy? Is it good for anything else apart from that? Let me know what you think. Would you agree with reintroducing 100% mortgages where you don't need a deposit? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi. How are you doing?
Niall, how are you doing? I'd just like to send my condolences to the families in Liverpool that are affected. I have family in Liverpool, and my son, my friend's son is over there celebrating, and it's just horrific, like you said, to see that online.
I don't know now, Morris. I know there's a lot of people injured, obviously. Clearly, there's a lot, because you couldn't notice but think there were people injured. But I don't know if there's anyone dead. I hope not. The only saving grace was there was so many people, the car couldn't move too fast. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it was going fast enough.
Yeah. The only reason the car stopped, now there was somebody trapped underneath it.
That's right.
That's the reason it stopped. You know, so listen, all we can do is say a prayer for them, and hopefully if there's people injured, they'll get better. And unfortunately, I think people are going to lose their lives with the injuries that's done. And on the latest leak I've got, he's a 53-year-old Englishman that done it.
That's what they're saying, yes. A 53-year-old Englishman. They're quite specific, by the way. They didn't just say Englishman. On the news, it says a 53-year-old white Englishman. They were quite specific. They're quite specific about saying that. I suppose the reason being they don't want people, you know, casting judgments and immediately jumping up and saying, oh, here we go again.
Or if it was a terrorist-related incident that somebody used, you know, so it's a diffused situation. But I was out yesterday with my son and we celebrated. We're big Liverpool fans and we had a lovely day. So it's horrific to see that, but there's worse videos online at the moment coming out of Gaza, children running, flames on fire.
Yeah.
Horrific.
Yeah, and, but, starving children.
Yeah, well. Exactly. I know. And listen, like the President of Ireland said, as much people hating, if we say nothing, we're complicit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And he's right.
But here's the thing, Morris. Sorry, just before we get back to the mortgages. You know, I find it odd that, and I hear people giving out about what's going on in Gaza, and rightly so, by the way. And I hear people what's going on in Liverpool, rightly so, and what's going on everywhere around the world when people die, is rightly so. But we ignore the fact that on the continent of Africa, every year, millions of children under the age of 9 die of preventable diseases. Every year.
Yes.
And that could be prevented. Yeah. And yet we don't talk. That's like a genocide, because we could do something about it in the West if we really wanted to. But nothing is done about it. Nobody even talks about it. I don't know why. Is it the colour of their skin? Is it because they're not like us? What is the reason why we ignore that massive story? You know what they die of? Dysentery, diarrhea. That's like just preventable things.
They go blind from glaucoma.
It's preventable. It's all preventable. Yeah. You know?
Very much so. But like I said, look, ever since before, do you remember in school we had the Gorta boxes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go. And it's gone on and it's never changed, Niall. It's gone on. Now you have the Trokora boxes. Then Bob Geldof came along with all the gang and raised fucking millions from Africa.
Yeah, but you heard the whole story. I watched a documentary all about Live Aid one night. And very little of the money actually got through to the people. That was the problem. It all gets tied up in administration, costs, travelling, transport.
Yeah.
And then the people who run these charities abroad or here or whatever, corruption. You know, are on massive salaries. You know what I mean?
And people were stealing the money and corruption.
Absolutely.
You know, in these African countries, you know. Mm-hmm. It's horrific. But like, listen, we're supposed to be living in the civilized world in the West, and we have corruption every day of the week here as well. Do you know what I mean?
I know, on a different scale. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% mortgages is a disgrace. Like, we've seen what happened when the crash came. You know, people just couldn't afford. Why would you put a rope around your neck or to own a house? And, you know, it just takes one swipe or one job to go away with two people, and that mortgage is gone. It can't be facilitated. It's ridiculous. I think, listen, my mother always
part of the Celtic Tiger collapse wasn't just, now the 100% mortgage certainly added to it. I remember when Bank of Scotland came to Ireland, they were like the Tescos of mortgages, right? I think they were the first ones to do the 100%. Actually, at one stage, wasn't one of them doing a 110% mortgage where you got enough money to kit out your house with furniture and buy a new car as well while you were at it? And it was so bad in America, they were calling them pulse mortgages. In other words, once you had a pulse, they'd give you the mortgage, right? It didn't matter what age you were. They gave an 85-year-old man a 40-year mortgage. This is the truth, because they're not allowed ageism is not acceptable in America, is the word I was going to use. Okay. So the part of the problem with the Celtic Tiger was they weren't stress testing people properly either. It wasn't just about the 100%, but they weren't stress testing them.
Yeah. And I mean to say, if you have a fella that's on a bonus for every mortgage that he can get rid of or kick in, he's gonna sell you. Like, they had a thing called drive-by viewings there. Like, people that were going out buying properties to get on the property market and then having 20 properties, and then their mortgages collapse and they're in debt for the rest of their lives. Well, one thing I always learned off me, man, why would you borrow from the future to pay for now? Because you don't know what the future holds for you.
Yeah. But we all do it. We all borrow in the hope that we'll still be alive in 25 years. We'll still have a job and we'll still be able to pay that mortgage.
And then the worst thing that can happen to you is that if you and your partner get 100% mortgage and everything is geared towards paying that mortgage, you're barely living. You can't have a family. You're putting in high bills every month, the expenses and the whole lot. And then one of you lose a job or the economy crashes and you're made redundant. They're going to take the house off you and you're out in the street.
And your house is in negative equity. So even when they take the house off you, you still owe the bank money.
Exactly. And you're left with that debt. And they'll sell the house from underneath you at a loss.
Oh, I know. I know people this happened to during the last crash. So you bought a house for $450,000. The economy collapsed. The property market collapsed. The house value went down to about $200,000. They had to sell because they couldn't afford the mortgage anymore because the mortgage rates went up. And then they sold the house, but still owed the bank another $250,000.
Oh, they still had to pay the interest that was due over 25 years?
No, they just had to pay them back the money because they borrowed $450,000, but the house is only worth $250,000 when they sold it.
With you, when it was sold, the debt didn't die with the house.
No, the bank will chase you for the debt. Yeah, now they can. Some of them will write it off. It depends on the judge. But generally, you'll have to go bankrupt. The debt follows you.
It's a bad idea. There's nothing worse than giving people false hope. But like I said to you, I told you before, I think, I had a nephew in the area in Dublin 15 where I live, and he just purchased his first house at 28. $460,000. That's some mortgage for a 28-year-old.
Isn't that terrible, isn't it? Isn't that awful to burden young people with that kind of debt?
Exactly. $500,000, just $40,000 short of $500,000.
Yep.
For a three-bedroom semi that was probably built for $60,000 about 30 years ago.
How much was your house when you bought it, Morris?
80, and it's selling for 475 now.
Yeah, my first house was 55 when I bought it. And that was in 1993. Yeah. 55,000.
Oh, sorry, my first house I bought in Leixlip, County Kildare, and I paid £25,500 for it. And I sold it for 45, and then I bought the house in Blanchard.
Here's the thing, 25,000, you literally would not buy a shed for that now. I've seen sheds for sale now for $20,000. You know,
you get a weekend in a hotel down the country for that.
Oh, speaking of weekends, I was looking online, so I thought it was a prank. Somebody put up a screenshot of hotels in Donegal for the rally weekend, right? And there was two particular hotels, I won't mention them on the name of the air, and one for the two nights for the weekend of the rally was 14,000. And these are just like guest houses, right? One was 14 and the other one was 16,000. And I said, no, I all is fair. You know, when the Braddy Week is on, make a bit of money. If you're a hotel, well and good, up your prices slightly. But talk about taking the piss. 16 grand for two beds in a hotel for two nights.
Yeah. Do you remember when the Ryder Cup was here, when the Americans were coming over, or Europe against America? And there was a house down in Limerick, 40 grand for the week, a tenner a day.
Right.
10,000 a day.
10,000 a day. Okay, but say there, Morris, you don't agree with them, you think it's a really bad idea, yeah?
No, don't be getting young people into debt and getting them to buy things that they can't afford. If you can't put your hand in your pocket and buy it, it's not meant for you.
Right, okay. Let me thank you, Morris. Let me go to David. I know Morris has to go about his business there now. Let me go to David. David, hi, how are you?
Niall, hi. Look, great to talk to you again. Absolutely stupid idea.
Mm.
The other thing that's not being looked at, which I think you should bring into the conversation, is the ratio between salaries and value of property. Because what I do know is that in the UK, every time the ratio went above 6.3 from average salary to average property value, the market crashed. Ireland, amazingly, back in 2007-08, got to 9.3 or something before the market crashed. But I think that was the SSIAs, which were...
Oh, remember those, yeah. I had one of those. Yeah. How much did they work? £8,000 or something, yeah.
Yeah, that kept the Irish economy afloat for a year, while people cashing in their SSIAs to sort of feed the hole.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing went pop.
Well, the rule of thumb is you should never be spending more than, according to economists, 33% of your joint income between the pair is you and your missus or whoever, or it's a single income, more than 33% on your accommodation. So
what's the average price? I was just looking up when after your lady rang me, and I think I read that the average price of a second-hand home in Dublin was 525 now.
Okay, so that's about a 2,100 mortgage, at least.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if you're telling me 33%, that means that they should be earning 6,300 to have 33%. Who's earning 6,300 a month? Very few people earning that.
Well, exactly. This is why the price is currently unsustainable.
Mm. So for your 500,000 euro house and you have to save 20%, that means you have to have 100 grand deposit. That's going to take a couple, 3 or 4 years at least to save. So
there's no way. The average salary, I also looked that up. That was about for Dublin was like 45 grand.
And I think it's a bit more now. I think it's 42 or 43. Is the average wage.
That was the CSO figures or something. Anyway, whatever. But whether it's 42, but if you've got an income of 42 grand, there's no way you're going to be saving 12 grand a year.
Mm.
Sorry, 3 years. There's no way you're going to be saving 33 grand to put your 100,000 deposit down.
Well, but between two people I'm talking about.
But even if you've got two of you on 40...
Well, I know somebody who did do a lot of saving and saved a huge deposit very quickly, but basically was living on pizzas, beans and chips, you know what I mean? And not going out.
Well, he must have been cooking them at home because he wouldn't get them on a takeaway. But you could buy, pizzas. If you bought the materials to make a pizza at home, you're looking at a quid a pizza. If you buy it in from Domino's or whatever, you're looking at 10 to 14 quid. Mm.
Okay, so getting back to our 100% mortgages, I see the advantage for young people. It means they can get onto the property ladder quicker. They don't have to wait that 3 years to save the deposit, and they're keen and they want to buy a house, but it's killing them to try and save those massive deposits.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of it.
I think the whole house thing in Ireland's got to be sorted. I think you get rid of the planning departments. You allow the local community to whoever runs the local community, like in Connor here, we've got a village council, and they approve the new dwellings under the auspices. This is obviously of the village engineer. They approve the plans of the new, because the houses that get built around are rubbish. They're not only rubbish, they look out of place, they don't fit in with the community. If you walk down a the streets in Paris, you'll see new and old beautifully blended together. That just doesn't happen in Ireland.
Yeah, by the way, sorry, Molly just checked for you there. The average industrial wage according to CSO at the moment is 46,500.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Bit harder than I thought, actually.
But even so, 46,000, if you've got two on 46,000, they're not going to be able to.
No, it's still unsustainable to buy a house for 500 grand. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's 2,100 roughly mortgage, right? Depending on the interest rate. So that's a low interest rate. That's half their salary between the two of them.
Yeah, but the short and long is that Ireland needs to build a whole load of houses that are of good value and well built.
But how are they going to do that in the current market when you firstly can't get builders, you can't get developers to build houses? There's no shortage of money. Money is never the issue. It's getting people to build houses. And the more houses we can build, the prices will come down. Obviously, the laws of supply and demand. But that's not going to happen. And what's going to happen with 100% mortgages is it's just going to push the price up.
But no, where have all these builders gone? Back in the day, back in 2004, 5, 6, there were all these houses being built. And they're not being built at the moment.
That's because kids won't. We're selling things up wrong. So we've got 16-year-olds now with ambitions to work in Google, to work in tech companies, to earn big money. They don't want to be plasterers. They don't want to be electricians. They don't want to get apprenticeships. They don't want to do all of those things that their dads did because they feel there's more money in tech industries or in other industries. That's the biggest problem we have.
Well, you say that, but I know plumbers and electricians who are on 80,
absolutely,
150.
I know an electrician, and I tell you what, he's earning a lot more than I am. A lot more.
I would be a good electrician or a good plumber would be easy on 150 grand.
Absolutely. Do four or five jobs a day for 300 or 400 quid a pop. Yeah.
And you'd be doing that, within 2 or 3 years of starting your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
The problem is young people, David, don't want to get their hands dirty. David, stay there with me. Want to come to Billy? Billy, hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you even?
Good. It's interesting that in my former political party that I ran with for the European election, I've introduced. Now, I certainly would never have agreed to that. And I'm surprised, actually, Ken O'Flynn. He's a good guy. I like Ken. Michael Collins has said he wants to see 100% mortgages come back. He said they're a valuable tool to addressing the housing crisis. Do you agree with him?
Do Ken and Michael have a case of collective amnesia?
Possibly.
Did we not go through this in the 2000s? And if you remember correctly, Nile House prices went through the roof.
But there was a collective problem then too.
There was a collective problem.
Yeah.
And there's a collective problem now as well, where house prices now are easily as high as they were in the 2000s without 100% mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
So what Ken and Michael are suggesting is that we introduce 100% mortgages into a market that is already constrained with supply. So it's a supply issue that we have. It's not a money issue. It's a supply issue. And we're going to give 100% mortgages, which will just force the costs up because the banks will give the money 100% of it straight out.
And not only that, the developers are now looking at young people as little cash cows because they're saying these people don't have to save anymore. They've got the money in their pockets.
So we could go from, a semi-D in rural Ireland costing 400,000 up to 800,000. Well, maybe not 800,000.
No. But they could up the price by 20%.
25% easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the banks are paying it. And not the young people. Well, in theory, they will be.
Yeah. Yes. In theory, they will be giving the money out.
I'm surprised at Michael Collins, and I'm surprised at Ken O'Flynn, who obviously agrees with him. Not obviously, but he does agree with him. I'm surprised because what we're essentially doing is letting the government off the hook. So we're saying that young people can't afford houses, can't afford the deposits, can't afford houses. So the easy way is just to lend them more money and put them more in debt.
No, it's kind of a populist solution, and that's why I'm so surprised that...
I don't think it's populist because people don't agree with it.
Well, Niall, it would be popular with a demographic that feels that more money will fix their problems.
Mm.
It'll be popular if people think, if I get 100% mortgage, I'm not going to have to save a penny. and I can keep paying. And look, now there's more problems in the Irish housing market and the system at the moment than we can list on radio. There really is. But, you know, the fact that Eoin O'Brien and Sinn Féin are against this, it's just like, well, it's a pretty populist move to give 100% mortgages. I'm surprised because they're usually the ones that are giving all the populist solutions.
Yeah, I rarely find myself agreeing with Sinn Féin, but I do on this occasion. Yeah.
So maybe they have learned the lessons of the past, but you said your former party, I would be seriously questioning what the policies. I thought the whole thing with Independent Ireland was fiscal responsibility, or one of their core principles, and this doesn't seem very fiscally responsible. Like, it seems like a very risky game to play, and one that we should have learned a lesson from 15 years ago, but here we are having a discussion about it again.
Yeah. And it actually saddens me that people would think that this is a good idea. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't just the 100% mortgages, which were first, if I remember rightly, first introduced by Bank of Scotland when they came over, who were like the Tescos of mortgages, and then they vanished very quickly when the shit hit the fan. But
I'm not sure who was the first who brought
possibly,
it in.
Possibly, yeah.
But
they all went with it in the end. But it's surprising because, now, there was a collective as a set of problems at the time. It wasn't just the 100% mortgages. It was the fact that anybody could go in and get a mortgage. You know, once you look like you were alive, you could get a mortgage.
And everything else. But now, like, if we give out 100% mortgages, so at the moment, you have to have, it's gone up to four times your income is the maximum that you can borrow?
I think it's four times. Yeah, four times a single income, isn't it?
Four or five.
Yeah.
So it's gone up recently, I know that.
Well, it had to. It had to go up. Because nobody could afford a house.
Well, Niall, the argument there is, you say it had to go up, but when it went up, the prices also went up more.
Absolutely.
Because
developers are greedy.
Exactly. Well, I won't defend developers, but estate agents on second-hand homes set the price. Mm-hmm. They base the price off of what the price of a new house in the area. Exactly. Now, are you familiar with the Japanese model of housing?
No, but you're going to tell me about it, I'm sure.
I'm going to give you just a quick point. So in Japan, when a house is built, it's deemed as a depreciating asset. So
okay.
Over time, same as your car, over time,
goes down value.
The house would go down instead of going up.
That's bizarre.
In Ireland, it's a case in the West, particularly in Ireland, and I'm sure it's the same in the UK, you know, the value of your property goes up over time. And that's half the problem, that, like, if you don't have a good pension, or if you are looking to invest, like, if we had a system here where we could invest in things and not be hit with taxes every 8 years for stock trading, for example, you probably wouldn't see as many people putting money into property. Property is the only thing that you can have a guaranteed return on investment over a lifetime of the property. And if you were planning on putting money in for your pension or long-term savings, property is a damn good way to make sure that there's an increase in value that beats inflation over time.
They don't believe, by the way, people talk about another crash. And I've spoken to economists about this before. I don't think we'll see another crash in our lifetime that we saw in 2010, where property literally went to half the value it was at in the space of 2 years.
I don't think we'll see a property crash.
No.
No, we will
see a recession, and we will see an economic crash.
Your favourite president, depending on what he posts on Truth Social in the morning, if he gets out on the wrong side of the bed, Niall, as he did on on Friday with the EU.
Why are you surprised? I'm not going to get into this debate with you, Billy, right? But why are you surprised? He promised all of this during his campaigns, and 50% of the American people voted for him. He said he was going to do this.
Again, I'm not going to get into it with you now, because I know you're very staunch in your opinion.
No, I'm not. And, you know, when I see a mistake, I'll agree. But I think what he's doing, some people might not agree with me. I think it's clever. I think he's a businessman. He's looking for a deal. He's not going to put a 50% tariff on Europe.
He's not a very good businessman. He's not a very good businessman, because all that he has done is he has put the fear of God into any company looking to invest in America.
That'll all settle down. It'll all settle down. You watch over the next 6 months. Now, you look at what's just happened in Europe. Ursula von der Leyen has now said she wants till the 9th of July, because they're taking them seriously. They've been charging America 23% VAT, excise duty, import taxes for the last God knows how many years, and all America charges 10%.
Do you know what the Europeans have said? we'll get rid of tariffs if you get rid of tariffs. They're more than happy to have a zero, and Europe is more than happy to have a tariff-free agreement with America, as they do with Canada, as they do with Switzerland, as they do with Norway, as they do with many, many countries around the world. It just needs to be reciprocal.
And I think he will reciprocate. But here's the other thing. When I hear an Irish politician saying, I disagree with tariffs, right? And then I say, hold on a second. And I know that you're going to say there's a difference in taxes and tariffs. I buy a car and I buy it within the European Union and I bring it into Ireland. The price is nearly double by the time I land up my front car. Yeah. That, because we have 23% VAT, 33% VRT. Do you understand what I'm saying?
VRT is an illegal tax.
Oh, I'm well aware it's an illegal tax. But don't start pontificating about mad taxes and tariffs when we're doing it ourselves.
Well, I'm not pontificating. Not you.
I'm talking about the politician.
Okay, fair enough. I thought that was directed at me.
Okay, well, hang on. We're going off topic. Let me go back to the 100% mortgage. Stay there, Billy. Let me go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
How you doing? How's it?
Good. Tony, 100% mortgages. Is this a good idea, you know, to get young couples onto the market quicker, or is it a bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea, but the bad idea is to go and get, kind of go ahead with the bad ideas.
Sorry?
The government would go ahead with the bad ideas, even though they are bad ideas. Like, you know?
Oh, yeah, so it's just another bad idea to add to all the rest of the bad ideas. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're going to fuck up anybody, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so you feel it'll be of no benefit to anybody?
No benefit at all.
Well, I think it'll be of benefit to young people who want to buy a house very quickly, won't it?
No, I'm just telling you a story, right?
Yeah, sorry, your phone is very crackly or distorted or something, Tony. I do apologise, I have to drop your line there. Let me go to Margaret. Margaret, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good, Margaret. 100% mortgages, Margaret. You agree with
no
them?
Way. No way. Because I'll tell you one thing, Niall. Young people will not be able to afford a mortgage. They won't. And they'll only be able to pay it maybe, if they're lucky, 6 months. Then they'll end up losing the property.
Well, let's say on the average house price in Dublin, I'm probably doing all the maths wrong here, right? But on a low interest rate, normally the mortgage might be 1,800 quid. It'll probably be about 2,200 now, an extra 400 quid a month. So it'll be an extra 400 a month, maybe, on top of their mortgage if they get the extra 20%. Isn't that what they have to pay, 20% deposit at the moment?
Yeah. But, Niall, what the government should be doing is building council houses on public land.
Well, that's a separate issue, Margaret. We're talking about we're talking about private housing here. We're not talking about council housing. Not everybody's entitled to council housing.
No, but, and if people want a private house, then they pay the bigger bucks.
What, for the same house? For the same house?
But not everybody is on big wages, Niall.
But that's a bit unfair, isn't it? So the government build on public land, and they build social housing, and then they sell a quantity of them off privately to people who have to pay 400,000 for them.
But that's what they're doing anyway.
I know, but I don't believe they should be doing that, because I think that's a little bit unfair on people who work hard for their money.
Yeah, but the council are doing that. The government is doing that. Any housing estate that's been built...
It's 20% social housing. Yeah, 20% affordable.
You saw it on the television there at the weekend, and people queuing up for houses that were up for sale on the television.
Yeah,
I don't know how many it was that were up for sale.
Oh, they're queuing for 3 days. 3 days they were queuing.
Yeah.
There was only like 40 houses.
Yeah, and they're all foreigners buying them.
Well, see, the reason for that is, and people do make this and they notice this on a regular basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're all foreigners in the queue. And the reason is because in the last 10 years, we've had an increase in the population of nearly a million people coming from other parts of the world. They need somewhere to live. I'm not suggesting that if they come here illegally, they should be deported, absolutely. But I'm talking about people who came here legally. Doctors, nurses, whatever, I don't know. And they need somewhere to live. So a lot of the Irish people already had houses. They didn't. They've been renting. So they want to buy a house. So you will see a disproportionate amount of people who've come from other countries buying houses, because they don't have one. They're only here for the last 10 years. So that's the reason. I'm wrong in thinking that, but that's the kind of reason you're going to see a disproportionate amount of foreign nationals buying houses. Now, some people have suggested that foreign nationals should have to pay an extra tariff, or I don't know, Billy doesn't like the word tariff, tax, because some countries around the world, when you are not, and they're suggesting it, by the way, in Florida already, that people who come over from, say, Britain to buy a house in Florida should be charged an extra 20%, a tax. Mm.
No, some countries in the world that don't allow foreign nationals to buy property.
Well, they want to do that in Spain now as well, don't they?
And I, to be honest, Noel, I don't see an issue with that.
Mm.
You know, if you're not resident in a country, I don't see why you're buying it. And look what's happened in the UK. Look what's happened in London. Qatar owns half of London at this stage with the amount of property that they bought.
Yeah.
So what would be the rule then, Billy? Would you have to be here a certain amount of time?
I think in some countries, Niall, you have to be resident there for 5 years prior to purchasing a house.
So what, prove that you were renting for the last 5 years?
Yeah. Prove that you have a tie to the country and the community that you're trying to buy into, that you can't just come in and purchase land from...
Like Limerick, for example, where you go to Limerick, you have to have a relation living there or something, don't you? Or not Limerick, sorry, Wicklow.
I'm not sure what the regional variance is there. I'm sure if I want.
Isn't in Wicklow you have to have a relation or something living there?
It might be if you want to build a house in the community.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's building a house.
If you want to go into Bray or Arklow or something like that and buy a house, you don't have to have that rule. I can't see that standing up.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It might be for planning permission. I might have got it slightly wrong. Okay.
But like, I do think that, you know, you should have to have a residency in the country for a period of time before you go buy a house. And, you know, if someone moves here and builds a life here, fair enough. If they're here legally and if they build a life in the country and in the community that they want to live in, by all means buy a house. But I don't think someone should be able to rock into Dublin Airport and go and buy a building just because they have the money to do so. I think that's grossly wrong.
Hmm. Okay, we'll stay there. Let me just go to... Yeah, sorry, Margaret.
It is happening.
Oh, no, it is happening. I know it is happening. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's still happening today.
Hmm?
And it's still happening today.
Yeah. And it does seem unfair.
People are coming in from other countries and buying up houses. And it's very unfair on people living in different communities all over the country who are locals or who live in the area or walking in the area. Let it be in Limerick, let it be in Kerry, let it be in Donegal, whatever, any part of the country, and then you have people coming in who have the big bucks and are buying up houses here, there and everywhere, and then there's people flying in from those countries to live in the houses.
Okay, well, stay there a second, because let me just text it. It says, Niall, you're right, it's Wicklow in Shillelagh. Is Shillelagh, am I pronouncing that properly? I don't know. Anyway, let me just go to Nora briefly before the break, if I can. Nora, hi, how are you?
Yeah, I was just listening there to the conversation. But going back to the 100% mortgages, if they can show that a couple or a person has been able to afford their rent for a number of years, therefore, then of course I'd be in favour of 100% mortgages, but not, like, as you said, they did going back 15 years ago, giving them out to everybody who has showed no credit credentials.
Mm.
So how can a young couple afford 100% mortgage if they have no method of saving?
Assuming a bank, before they give a mortgage out now, since the new regulations came in, they will look for things like that, you know, to see that you have a history of paying on time, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if I was renting and paying nearly 2,000 a month, for the last few years, I'd be glad of the 100% mortgage. Absolutely glad of it. So once they're very careful about that.
And I'm agreeing with you in a sense, Nora, that I'd be glad of it too. But we have to look at the problems it causes. Look at the Celtic Tiger. Look what happened there. Now, I know the Celtic Tiger, there was a few different problems there. Oh. They were throwing money at people, for God's sake, right? But here's the thing. When you start loaning out 100% mortgages, that in turn encourages the developers and the estate agents just to push the prices up, because they know there's more availability of money. People don't have to save deposits anymore. So all of a sudden the prices start to go up. And then what happens is they'll go up by 20%, which then reflects the 20% that you're saving on the mortgage. And then you're putting basically a noose around the neck of young people for the next 30 years.
Yeah, and of course most of those 100% mortgages are for 30 to 35 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lifelong anchor around your neck. It's just never ending, and I agree there. But I do feel if they look at the credentials of people, even if somebody could have a guarantor, you know, going in and buying a home, But once they can prove that they have a regular income, a permanent job, and that they were able to afford rent for the last number of years, yes, I'd be in favour of it, but not for, as you say, if they don't have a deposit. And I mean, I remember friends of mine getting the deposit even to the mortgage nearly, you know, so they had no regular saving record. Mm. But in a way, I find it frightening, and I agree, property has gone through the roof, and they speak about it as if, you know, people are working, people have come here to Ireland, and they're working as nurses and doctors and teachers or whatever. They are buying up a lot of property because, you know why? They're better at saving. And I know where I live, you never see those foreigners out at all. They're better at saving, and most of them have cash. They have cash to buy their houses. It's just, it's amazing.
So you're saying that, generally speaking, culturally, they're more frugal than we are?
Correct. Definitely.
Well, I'm very frugal.
Yeah, but you're not buying a house, Margaret. You already have one.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. And thank God I own it.
No, because I remember some years ago, a mate of mine was looking to buy a house, and he was constantly giving out to me about the price of the house. Oh, it wasn't like that when you were young. You know, we're saving hard and we can't get enough for a deposit yet. And yanny, 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 yanny. He was constantly going on at me, whining about it. And then he's telling me in 10 minutes later, he's booking his holidays for the summer with his girlfriend.
How
can you be taken seriously? I said, when even though my house is only 55 grand, but that was 1993, you didn't go on holidays for 2 or 3 years because you were saving. But young people, they want the new mobile phone, they want the Netflix, they want the Apple TV, they want everything, they want the holiday, and they want to save at the same time. Yeah, you can't do everything.
It's all relative to people's salaries at the time. I remember in the 80s, people going on bridging loans.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember the bridging loans. I think they're gone now, aren't they, bridging loans?
Oh, they're completely gone now. Yeah. But at the time, in a lot of cases, it was the only way you got your leg on the ladder for a property. And it cost a fortune. But these people weren't going on holidays or buying cars or whatever. So we have a completely different capitalistic view to life. It's, you know, and I would be one of those to a degree. You know what I want, I like, and all that. But I know when I bought my first home, I saved hard for it. And I didn't go on holidays for about 4 years.
And Billy, just before we get to the break, did you save hard for your first house, Billy?
My only house, Niall. It took a couple of years.
Of not going out on Saturday night and...
Well, I don't really go out that much anymore, Niall. Anyway, before that, but like, look, Niall, I'll be completely honest. During COVID, like most people, I had to move home. And it gave me an opportunity to work from home and save. I wasn't paying a lot of rent at the time. And yeah, I was in a position to buy during COVID, and I did.
Okay, well, hold on. Do me a favour, all of you. Stay there for a second. Just some interesting stats. In 2007, just over 100,000 mortgages were issued, whereas in 2024, there were 43,000. As of 2024, the average monthly rent for a three-bed house in Dublin was approximately 2,473. In contrast, the average monthly rent or mortgage payment for a three-bed house in Dublin is estimated to be at 1,340 based on a 300,000 euro mortgage, because obviously a person has to save 100 grand. Over 30 years, a 3.5% interest. So the kind of comparison indicates that, on average, mortgage repayments are lower than rental costs for similar properties in Dublin. Now, if you give a 100% mortgage, that's not going to be the case anymore, because you're going to be paying as much for your mortgages as you would be for your rent. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Oh, I'm annoyed.
Why are you annoyed?
you kind of went a little bit off the topic there with something, and I'll have a rant about that in a minute.
Was it Donald Trump? Somebody was given out by text here about Billy.
No, Jesus Christ, no.
Yeah, okay. I'll read that out in a minute.
I'm all for Donald. He's doing what he said he'd do.
He's looking
after his country.
Okay, now let me just read this out to Billy before you say it elsewhere. Okay, hold on, I have to find it here. Hang on. This text, where's it gone? Okay, somebody said, remind Billy that because of Trump, almost all the world leaders have had no choice but to get up off their arses and actually do a proper day's work. Ireland was asleep at the wheel, but he will force them to be awake.
Oh, was that from Cormac by any chance?
I don't know. No, it wasn't from Cormac. No.
Aren't we always saying, we need to get this country back. We need to get our leaders off of their arses and try and get our country up and running again for our people. Is that not what Trump is doing?
Angela, we'd agree to disagree there.
Yeah, let's not have a dumb conversation. Angela, yeah. Getting back to the 100% mortgages, do you agree?
That's not what was annoying me. But the 100% mortgage, I think that if you can show that for the past 5 years, you have, let's say, you would in rent be paying what you would in 100% mortgage, give it to them. Because if you were saying that you need, let's say, 10% of your mortgage, right? 30 grand.
Yeah.
Okay? If it's a 300 grand mortgage and
well, most of them are 20, most of them are 20%, aren't they?
The first time buyers are normally about 10%, right?
Okay.
I know because we were first time buyers. So normally 10%. So that's 30 grand, right? So if you were paying 1,500 to 2 grand a month for 3 years, is that bringing you up to what you would actually pay in?
Well, I was only kind of working it out on an average Dublin house price, which is about 450 to 500, right?
Yeah.
Let's say even 500, 475 mortgage is probably going to cost you about 2,000, between 2,000 and 2,100 in a mortgage. Based on 100%. It would be about 1,800 if you're paying a deposit of 20%.
Yeah. But the thing is, wouldn't you rather...
I'd rather not have the extra 400 for 30 years.
No, but the thing is, it's not even that, Niall. It's the fact that they are trying to pay rent, pay bills, live a life, not even going out, not, as you say, on pizzas, chips and beans, and try and save. But if you can say, right, listen, for 5 years, we're after spending 80 grand on rent. Can you not give us 100% because at least then we're in our own home? We're not paying off somebody else's mortgage.
Can I just make a point?
I just want to make one, before you said that, Billy, I just worked it out there. So the extra 400, and this is the approximate amount of money, right? The extra 400 that you'll be paying because you're getting a 100% mortgage on the average house price in Dublin over 30 years will cost you 144,000.
Never mind the maintenance of the home. That's just the extra.
That's not just what you're paying back in the mortgage. That's the extra. So in other words, you know, if you had to save that money, it would cost you an awful lot less than 144. Go, sorry, Billy, go ahead.
But how are they going to save it?
Like everybody else. So Billy, sorry, just say, so go back to Angela there, what do you want to say?
Angela, the issue with the 100% mortgages, and we go back to 2008, 2009, if there is a financial shock, people who have 100% mortgages, when the interest rates go up, they're locked in at that. They don't have any equity in the house that they've put in outside of mortgage repayments, which means they're doubly screwed when it comes to dealing with the banks, because it is the bank's house at the end of the day. And you, if you're making
it's
mortgage
the bank's
repayments,
house until you get it. I know all of that, Billy.
Sorry,
but what
Angela,
I'm saying
if you're making mortgage repayments for the first, if it's a 30-year mortgage, I think it's the first 12 or 15 years, you're taking very little off the principal amount on the mortgage. It's mostly interest that's paying back over the first 15 years of a mortgage. So.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, but what we are looking at the moment, Billy, what we are looking at the moment is that couples who are married 10, 15 years are paying rent and cannot afford to get a mortgage. Don't we want to get them out of a house, to get them to buy a mortgage to free up houses?
I'm not saying that we don't, Angela, but I am saying that 100% mortgages is a pretty bad way of going about that. In saying that, I don't know what the right way, and I don't have a solution.
We may not have a solution, but the right way is to bring the house prices back down again. That's the right way.
And
here's a suggestion, and not my only my suggestion, although I did suggest it some time ago, and Pat or Tobin reiterated it the other night, is remove the VAT from building materials. Now, don't just do it from building materials directly at source, because then what happens is the builders will save the VAT and they're not going to put the prices down. So what you do is you give the refund of the VAT that was paid out on the house and all the building materials worked out by the developers. It's handed into revenue and it's handed back to the people who are buying the house.
Yeah. Now, can I get on to the other thing that was driving me absolutely cuckoo? I'm sitting here foaming at the mouth.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
What has really fucking annoyed me, excuse me, is you have people coming into this country for the past 4 or 5 years who are now working and getting their rent paid so they can now save what they want to go along and buy a fucking house. I'm sorry, I am fuming at this, right? So if 20% of a housing estate goes to social, right? Let's turn around and say, okay, well, 5% of it can go to foreign nationals and the rest of it goes to local Irish people who have lived and earned and paid taxes in this country.
See, I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but and there are many countries that do that. Many countries don't allow people who've only been in the country 2 or 3 years to buy a house, as Billy rightly pointed out.
We do.
Or you can put a tax on it for people who are buying from the outside who are not citizens or residents.
They can still afford it.
Yeah, but the government, the Irish government will never do something like that because you will have the left-wing parties, including Labour, Social Democrats, People for Profit, will go absolutely spare and accuse them of being racist.
I don't give a shit. Now, what really boiled my blood was 2 years ago, two Christmases ago, my best friend's sister-in-law and her husband sold their house for 675 grand to a couple that were living in a bloody hotel. Wow. Explain that one to me.
Well, I can't explain that to you.
Explain that to me.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. But can I ask a question?
Nora, ask the question. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Nora here. Just when people come here with professions to work, are they still subsidised by the government? I didn't think that.
No, if they're working, well, the only subsidy they get if they're working, if they're on low income, they would get a supplementary benefit.
Yeah, no.
But if they come here and they're unemployed,
I don't understand
that. The government are paying €800 to a person who is working from the Ukraine and getting that APR or whatever it's called.
Well, isn't the figure gone down to 600 now? They've reduced it. Am I wrong?
Oh, Jesus Christ, they've dropped it to 600. Mm. And those people are working.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't agree with that, by the way. At this stage now, I don't agree with that. I don't think most people do agree with that. At this stage, you're on your own.
Paid a penny.
Yeah, you should be. At this point now, it's 3 years down the road. You should be in a job. Do you know what I mean?
But they are in a job.
That's what I'm saying. They should be able to, stand on their own 2 feet at this stage. Just like anybody else. And if you can't, you have to apply for social. Well, then you have to apply for social like everybody else.
Yeah, like the Irish people, if they're on minimum wage.
No, nobody should be given, from any country, should be given preferential treatment of any sort.
No.
And you are right, and that's happening. It was in the paper the other day that it's costing, what was it? Was it 3,000 per night per asylum seeker to accommodate them? 3,000, where are they staying? In the Ritz? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can stay in a top-class hotel in Dublin, the best hotel in Dublin, for 3,000.
And they complain then, Niall, that they have to give a tenner towards the food. Mm. This, my arse, I'm sick of them.
Okay.
I'm sick of them.
Okay.
Are these the people buying the houses if they're on their minimum wage?
Yes,
I doubt
they
it.
Are.
Well, I don't know, Anne. So when you see the queues of people, I have 400 or 500 people queuing up for 10 houses for sale in St. Kildare or whatever it is, 3-bed houses that are going for 475 or 450.
They have to be on good salaries.
They have to be on a salary. They're not getting...
Exactly.
They're not on welfare.
No.
They couldn't be.
Let me answer it, right?
Okay.
So if you were getting, let's say, roughly 450 quid a week.
Yeah,
right?
Make it quick. I'm running out of time.
You are getting €2,000 a month. And the government are paying for your rent.
Yeah, but you still have to prove to a bank that you can afford to pay back the mortgage. And the bank has to check that. They'll have to go to your bank statements. So if you're only getting €2,000 a month, they're not going to give you a mortgage for 400,000.
No, they're putting €2,000 a month into the bank.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.